Propaganda and Jewel from the 1980s to start the hour, and Men at Work, and It's a Mistake. You can say that again. The Full English Breakfast Show. A city in the US state of Minnesota has urged residents not to release their unwanted pet fish into the wild after finding huge goldfish in a lake. Yeah, and don't flush them down the loo either. The common household pets can grow far bigger in the wild and cause major disruption to ecosystems. The city of Burnsville shared images showing several monster goldfish caught during a survey of Keller Lake. Wonder what they taste like. It said goldfish could contribute to poor water quality by disturbing sediments and uprooting plants. Please don't release your pet goldfish into ponds and lakes, said the city. In Minnesota, goldfish are a regulated invasive species, which means it's illegal to release them into public waters. A goldfish kept in a home aquarium typically grows to around 5.1 centimetres in length, but once they're established in public waters, wildlife officials say, a goldfish can grow far larger and be difficult to remove, reproducing rapidly and dominating native species. In its warning, the city of Burnsville advised pet owners to please consider other options for finding them a new home. Yeah, we did actually. I remember my parents put a goldfish that was in a tank at home into our garden pond, and it grew really big. It was called Fred. And then he got cancer, got a great big white spot on his back, and sadly died. But he was pretty big by the time he snuffed it. Quick look at the papers. The Guardian reports the Conservatives urgently need to change their attitudes towards people taking the knee, an influential Tory MP has said, amid an angry backlash against the government over the racist abuse of England footballers. Steve Baker, the former minister and hard Brexit campaigner, broke cover on Tuesday to plead for his party to think again about dismissive attitudes towards the taking of the knee and calling for better understanding of the motives behind it. Labour's been granted an urgent question in Parliament today on racism on social media after the abuse faced by players following the Euro 2020 final. And Mr Baker said this may be a decisive moment for our party. Much as we can't be associated with the calls to defund the police, we urgently need to challenge our own attitude to people taking a knee. Baker wrote in a message to MPs on the Conservative Against Racism for Equality group, I fear we're in danger of misrepresenting our own hearts for those who suffer injustice. Now, the Los Angeles Times says that President Biden on Tuesday decried new Republican-backed state laws restricting voting rights, calling them unconscionable attempts to deny the will of our people, primarily people of colour, and the most significant test of our democracy since the Civil War. The remarks, the president's most forceful on the subject to date, served as a rebuke to Republicans in the states and Congress, a rallying cry for Democrats ahead of next year's midterm election, and a wake-up call to the country generally. And finally from this hour, Dutch News says 11 of the Netherlands Safety Board regions are now classified as very serious centres for coronavirus, and all but one of the remaining 14 are flagged as serious following a surge in coronavirus cases over the past few days.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Eureka, something's actually working.
We've managed to connect through about 12 different ways to speak this morning, but we're live and we're crystal clear at least the next 2 seconds.
Yeah, I've had a number of issues this morning. This is the first thing that's worked all day, so well, congratulations. Did you personally fix it yourself, did you?
I fixed it myself. I used my technology brain to work around the system to make it all happen this morning. So once again, I'm helping you out of a tight spot.
Come on, you don't know what you're talking about. Actually, to be quite honest with you, neither do I.
You are far from technology efficient or aware, it has to be said.
You know what? The older I get, the less I understand it, and I don't care either.
Quite right.
Okay, markets, a bit of a dip on Wall Street yesterday. We had those CPI numbers out yesterday. The markets didn't like it very much.
Yeah, surging inflation prints certainly setting the tone for markets yesterday. Investors are increasingly suspicious that inflation is becoming more ingrained than originally predicted. That definition of transitory is higher and longer than economists predicted. And that started to encourage investors to become more concerned around the risk of a faster pace of policy tightening by central banks. Big number, of course, was the US consumer prices figure, which surged in June at its fastest rate since 2008, smashing expectations for the fourth consecutive month. Headline consumer price index jumped 5.4% year on year. Consensus was around 5%. Core CPI, which strips out the volatile food and energy component, came in at 4.5% over the prior year, the largest increase since 1991. Where's it coming from? Well, the number of sources of inflation, you've got technical and statistical factors. We know the numbers are exaggerated by low base effects compared to last year. On the demand side, the relaxation of restrictions is unleashing this pent-up demand from consumers that are fueled by stimulus checks and excess savings. Price pressures also coming from that ultra-accommodative monetary policy, that flood of fiscal support. And on the cost side, well, supply side remains constrained, particularly when it comes to labour shortages. And of course, the rapid global recovery has created supply chain stress, along with higher commodity prices that are pushing up input costs. So it's a pretty dangerous mix, at least in the short term, it has to be said, and markets becoming concerned about that. S&P 500 down, nothing too dramatic, it has to be said, down 0.35%. We did see a rise in Treasury yields and the dollar strengthened.
Yeah, so even though Jerome Powell continues to insist that this inflation is transitory, are we starting to think that maybe they don't know what they're talking about as well?
Well, you have to say that economists' forecasts have certainly been stretched over the course of the past few months as I've been talking about. There are some reasons why you can believe that is the case. Again, you take out those statistical, those technical factors. Still large amounts of spare capacity in many economies compared to at the start of the recession. If you look at the US, for example, the labour market, of course, has recovered in many ways. But some of the factors, if you look at the participation ratio, for example, furloughs, the unemployment rate still suggests slack in terms of the labour market. The rapid digitalisation, that ongoing investment in technology, is also expected to keep price pressures muted. And we should remember, central banks, particularly like the Fed, have got a more greater flexibility, which should allow them to look through some near-term inflations that are above expectations there. But I think given the magnitude of the recovery in both growth and inflation, that call for the tapering of asset purchases is certainly getting louder and louder.
The price of oil is playing a role in this as well. See, gas prices at a record high in the US, and the IEA has told OPEC to get its act together.
They really have. Crude prices hitting the highest level in 2.5 years this morning, as supply is likely to remain constrained. You've got this big dispute playing out, of course, with OPEC, which means that the hopes around increased supply coming to the market in August is unlikely to happen. There was also expectations that Iran could have done a deal that would have lifted those sanctions on its exports. That hasn't happened and may take longer than some analysts have been predicting. As you quite rightly say, the International Energy Agency warning of this deepening supply crunch as we go through the crucial summer months.
Could we sort it out with the penalty shootout?
That's normally the way these things should be resolved. I don't know if Saudi Arabia and UAE would decide to go along those lines, but perhaps it would bring a quicker resolution than the current diplomatic route.
Okay, and a lot of focus on the banks in second quarter earnings season today. I know you want to enlarge on that.
Yes, we had the first numbers coming through yesterday. A little bit of disappointment had to be said, particularly from the likes of JP Morgan. There was weaker fixed income trading than anticipated. Costs have been rising in the banks as well. In general terms, though, the second quarter earnings season should be very strong. If you look at the consensus for the S&P 500, they're expected to post year-on-year earnings growth of 66%. That's on revenue growth of 18.5%. Sector-wise, industrials, consumer discretionary, energy, very much leading recovery. In fact, only utilities are expected to be a sector where we'll see a contraction in terms of earnings. But even those numbers, I think, are very strong. Market reaction could be limited. You only have to go back to the first quarter. Actual earnings came in 25% higher than consensus, but that did not translate into an immediate jump in terms of share prices. So I think the setup could be very similar this time around. As such, I think you can expect the earnings to justify the rally that we've seen in markets rather than fuel further upside.
Foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against the dollar, looking a little bit weaker this morning, coming in at 138. Euro dollar down to 1.18. €1.17 for your British pound this morning.
Well, that sounded quite good. I think we'll carry on like this tomorrow, shall we?
I like it. If you're happy, I'm happy.
Well, I'm always happy, you know that.
Have a good day.
Talk to you tomorrow. Hang pots and Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
I'm Rob Harrison with the top stories across the Riviera. Ceremonies are taking place in Nice and other towns and cities across the country today to remember those who died in the 2016 terrorist atrocity on the Promenade des Anglais. On the fifth anniversary of the attack, the mayor of Nice, Christian Estrosi, will lead the remembrance. 86 people died and more than 200 were injured when a radicalised truck driver ploughed his vehicle into a large crowd of people during the Bastille Day celebrations, killing many instantly and leaving scores more with life-changing injuries. Security ahead of tonight's celebrations are tight in Nice and all over the country as authorities bid to prevent any attempt to stage a terrorist incident. President Macron will lead the annual Bastille parade in Paris later. Vaccination centres all over France have seen long queues form following the announcement of tighter restrictions and mandatory jabs for healthcare workers. On Monday, President Macron said that healthcare workers would be required to get vaccinated against COVID-19 by the 15th of September or lose their rights to go to work or get paid. The use of the French government health pass is also to be extended on the 1st of August and will have to be shown before admittance to any establishment welcoming more than 50 people, including bars, restaurants, cinemas, theatres and fitness centres. 10,000 people in Nice registered for vaccination soon after Mr Macron had finished speaking, and there's been a 20% increase in demand in Antibes. The vaccination centre inside the Cap 3000 shopping centre in Salon du Var will be open today without an appointment necessary, despite it being a bank holiday. There appears to be some confusion among the public over the requirement to show the health pass before being allowed to enter establishments holding more than 50 people. The Health Minister, Olivier Véran, has said a full list of where the health pass must be shown will be published in the coming days, but there's some ambiguity at the moment. It appears the pass will have to be presented before admittance to a large shopping centre, but not necessarily to a supermarket. Hospitals and all medical establishments will be on the list, as will most large commercial shops and public buildings. Children under the age of 12 will be exempt from the new regulations, and the 12 to 17-year-old age group will not be required to produce a health pass until the end of August. There are three movies in the Palme d'Or competition today at the Cannes Film Festival as it reaches its climax this weekend. Les Olympiades, or Paris 13th District by Jacques Audiard, deals with the complex relationships between a group of young adults, while The Story of My Wife from the Hungarian director Ildikó Enyedi is based on the 1942 novel of the same name by Milan Furst. Léa Seydoux, Gilles Naber and Louis Garrel star in the tale of an unhappy ship captain who suspects his wife of infidelity.
I imagine I'm already dead, but before I die, I revive for one last time and run away.
At last we get a chance to meet the old sea dog.
No more of a sea dog than you are a wharf rat.
You'll never be able to break away from her, because you're not like that. You're like me.
It's useless to wait for life to accommodate you. You must accommodate life. Otherwise, it will punish you.
And isn't that what life is all about? Receiving one reprieve after another.
The third competition film today is Red Rocket from Sean Baker, a comedy drama about a washed-up adult film star who returns to his small hometown in Texas, even though nobody there really wants him back. With the jury led by Spike Lee having now got plenty of celluloid under their belts, the critics are starting to speculate as to who might win the big award this year. Frontrunners include The Worst Person in the World from Norway's Joachim Trier, Catherine Corsini's The Divide and Lingui the Sacred Bonds by Chaj Marmitsela Haroon. There are still 2 days of full competition after today before the jury makes up its mind and the closing ceremony on Saturday night. Finally, there have been 79 fatal drowning accidents around France in just 1 month. Figures for June show that 79 people lost their lives in water accidents, and there were a total of 314 incidents requiring medical intervention. The figures are a 58% increase on the last available statistics from June 2019, and 21% of the fatalities involved young children under five. Most of the fatalities occurred in the sea, followed by private swimming pools, rivers, streams and lakes. Authorities say that young children should never be left on their own in or around water, and that the vast majority of fatal accidents were avoidable.
Riviera Radio, sports news.
Rugby Union, France have beaten Australia in Australia for the first time in 31 years. The France side, who are among the favourites for the 2023 World Cup, beat the Wallabies 28-26 in Melbourne. The three-test series is tied at 1-1 with one to play. The British and Irish Lions play South Africa A in Cape Town later today in what is being billed as the fourth test. Cricket. England have beaten Pakistan in the third one-day international at Edgbaston to impose a 3-0 series whitewash. Pakistan batted first and made a competitive 331 for 9 from their 50 overs, including a magnificent 158 from Babar. Batter James Vince Century helped England to a 3-wicket victory as they made 332 for 7 from 48 overs to take the series 3-0. Cycling, Tadej Pogačar is moving closer to back-to-back victories in the Tour de France following Stage 16, which was won by Patrick Conrad of Austria. Conrad attacked out of a breakaway on the Col de Porte de l'Aspe near the end of the 169-kilometre stage. Pogačar still leads Rigoberto Urán by 5 minutes 18 seconds heading into Stage 17 today, which is 178.4 kilometres between Muret and Saint-Lary-Soulin and features three big climbs in what is a tradition on Bastille Day. Football. England may have to play some matches behind closed doors following the opening of disciplinary proceedings by UEFA. Europe's governing body is investigating security breaches at Wembley Stadium during Sunday night's Euro 2020 final. Fans fought with police and stewards as they attempted to break through security barriers to gain access to the stadium without tickets. England are already under investigation for fan booing during national anthems, pitch invasions, lighting fireworks and throwing objects. It's more football from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, this is Joe Parsons at the BBC Sports Centre. The former West Ham United defender Anton Ferdinand says he can't believe people are still able to set up social media accounts without proof of identification after England players were racially abused again this week. Manchester United's Marcus Rashford, Old Trafford-bound Jadon Sancho and Arsenal's Bukayo Saka were all targeted with racist posts after they missed penalties in England's Euro 2020 final shootout defeat against Italy. Ferdinand says it's time social media companies took more action to stop people being able to post hateful messages anonymously.
That's the fight that we're having. How can there not be an ID type process like there is on banking and stuff like that? I have to have ID. There's always a lot of pushback. The excuses that we tend to get is not everyone's got ID, not everyone's got a national insurance number, not everyone's got this, not everyone's got that. And we've got a solution to that, but now it's going to come down to whether they really want to do it or whether they don't.
Meanwhile, Marcus Rashford could miss the first 2 months of the season after deciding to have surgery on a shoulder injury. Rashford had a scan on Tuesday after being hampered by the problem in the latter half of last season. It was decided the damage was so severe that rest alone wouldn't repair it, and United hoped the England striker could have the operation immediately. However, the surgeon isn't available till the end of July. In transfer news, Norwich City have signed the French midfielder Pierre-Lys Malou from Nice for around $5 million. He's signed a 3-year contract and the Canaries manager, Daniel Farke, says Lys Malou has the physical ability every game to cover lots of ground and can play many positions and roles. And Crystal Palace have signed the goalkeeper Remy Matthews on a 2-year deal. He was most recently playing for Sunderland in the third tier of English football. And for more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Finally, in golf, the scene is set for the Open Championship, which starts at Royal St George's in Kent tomorrow. US Open champion John Rahm says he won't be changing his style heading into the fourth major of the year. Rahm has revealed he was born with a club foot and has limited ankle mobility in his right leg. The 26-year-old Spaniard says that's the reason for his distinctive short backswing and that he can't deviate from the way he plays because of certain physical limitations.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Accelerate Marine.
Four coast layers up to 20 miles offshore the Almaraz Sea in the VAR. The general situation is a depression 1,010 millibars over the Ligurian Sea and a high pressure 1,020 millibars over southwestern France. Winds are west-southwesterly, force 5 to 6 west of Group, a variable force 2 to 4 east of the Cap d'Antibes. The sea is moderate west of Group, slight to moderate east of the Cap. Visibility is good. Barometric pressure of Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 1,003 millibars. And the outlook for Thursday, clear skies, force 2 to 4 variable winds, slight seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are west-southwesterly, force 5 to 7. The sea is moderate to rough. Visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,004 millibars. And the outlook for Thursday, clear skies, force 4 to 6 southwesterly winds, moderate seas and good visibility.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Accelerate Marine. For enhanced, high-performing connectivity on board your yacht, speak to our expert team today about our VSAT and 4G packages. Visit connectmyyacht.com.
The weather forecast brought to you by Polygon Riviera in Gagnes-sur-Mer, open-air shopping and leisure centre.
Oh, blowing a real hoolie last night, wasn't it? Since it's going to be quite windy in the VAR today, partially cloudy, moderate to strong northwesterly winds across the VAR. Temperatures 26 to 29 degrees, overnight lows 19 to 21 degrees with clear skies. Thursday and Friday, partially cloudy tomorrow, showery in the Almaraz Sea on Friday, highs of 24 to 28 degrees.
The weather forecast brought to you by Polygon Riviera in Gagnes-sur-Mer, open air shopping and leisure centre. Shops, restaurants, cinema, casino, gym. There is something for everyone. Only 20 minutes from Monaco and Cannes. Visit polygon-riviera.fr.